morning. John 10:7-14 says this. Jesus explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. I'm having trouble with this mic. What am I doing wrong? Okay, sorry, that was a loud good, but it is good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus' purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I, Jesus, am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I, Jesus, am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rhonda, for giving us that scripture today. It's an important one, especially as we continue on this series, which we call the Discipleship Roadmap. Last week, Pastor Philip started it off by talking about what it means to know about Jesus and how we need to get to know Jesus better. And today I'd like to drill down on that just a little bit more, because the difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus can be pretty vast. And I'm very excited about this series because I really believe that it has the potential to be the next great hinge point in the history of the Shalimar Church. When we engage in discipleship together and grow in our faith in a way that makes us all stronger and makes the church stronger and makes this a more attractive invitational place for people to come and worship. You know, there are a lot of people that know about Jesus. You can Google the most famous people in the world and you'll see several lists. And Jesus is always in the number one position by a country mile. People know all over the globe, they know about Jesus. I saw one list that showed Jesus number one. Number two, of course, was Michael Jackson. I mean, you can't beat that, right? Following that, of course, was other famous people, Hitler and Einstein and Princess Di. Coming in eight was Shah Rukh Khan. Never heard of him. I thought, how can somebody be in the eighth most famous position and I've never heard of him? So I Googled that. And I found out he's a movie star from India. He has 4.5 billion fans. And I didn't even know him. But if the number eight person can have 4.5 billion fans, how many more people know Jesus? A whole lot of people know Jesus. But I got to thinking about it. How many of them really know Jesus? Really know the person of Jesus? And it reminds me of that passage in the Bible where Jesus says, the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, but the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to eternal life. Enter through the narrow gate. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because the life of discipleship is a life of knowing Jesus. Or as we sometimes say, you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Have you ever heard that? I know I have. And it puzzled me for a long time. Because I can get to know Sue, my wife, or Philip, the pastor here, or I can get to know you just by having a conversation with you. And the more we get to know each other and the more intimate our conversations get and the more we share with one another, the more I get to know you until I really get to know you well. It's a little harder to do that with Jesus. And yet that's what we're called to do. That's what a life of discipleship is like. I'll share with you my own personal testimony. I grew up in a family that was at the church every time the door was opened. I mean, they were, my mom and dad both were even in the choir, if that tells you, you know, about their level of dedication. And those folks had to go to choir all the time. Growing up, I got my bachelor's degree in religion, and I started to know all about world religions with a special focus on Christianity. Later on, I went to seminary, and that was three intense years of Christian study. And it wasn't until after I was an ordained elder in the Methodist Church that it suddenly the light came on in me, and I began to realize that I've put a whole lot of energy and a whole lot of time into learning information about Jesus, but not knowing Jesus. And I had to step back and start over again with getting to know Jesus, that is to let Him have that space in my heart that allows Him to change me, and I get to have that relationship with Jesus we're talking about. And how do you do that? I mean, it's not that easy, but as Pastor Philip mentioned last week, quoting Dallas Willard, the word Christian appears in the New Testament three times. The word disciple, or some derivation of it, appears 267 times. And that ought to give us some kind of a clue about what it means to know Jesus. We have to take that step from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus, and that step from believing to doing. Because, you know, we can take that first step in our faith to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and I accept Him as my personal Savior. And I'm not knocking that. That is vitally important. That is a great first step. But at some point, we have to stop asking, do I believe, and start asking, will I do what He says? Do I believe in Jesus? Do I believe He walked on water? Do I believe He died for my sins? Do I believe He rose from the grave? Yes. Will I do what He says? Will I forgive? Am I ready to do that? He says, turn the other cheek and go the second mile and love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Am I ready to do that? When I start asking those questions to myself, I'm on the path of discipleship. And what does that look like? Well, for beginners, I think you get to know Jesus by talking to Him, of course. How do you talk to Him? With prayer, with scripture reading. Jesus can talk to you through the Bible, and it's a living Word of God, which means every time you read it, it might speak to you in some new way. You have morning devotions or evening devotions. You have the disciplines of the faith that allow you to let Jesus talk to you. And sometimes that means conversations with another person. Some of the most important conversations I've had with Jesus came through somebody else's voice that loved me enough to say something that I was having a hard time hearing. Discipleship is a matter of listening and having conversations. As we begin to have those conversations with Jesus, we have what I'll call these God moments, where your eyes are open to the work of the Lord in the world, and what you used to call a coincidence is now seen as something that is purposeful, that God is active in your life doing things because you're now aware of it, not because He's just now starting to do it. But as you grow in your discipleship, you start seeing these God moments over and over again, and you pay attention and let God direct you in the path that He wants you to take. Then, of course, there's mirroring Jesus. After you've been working on your discipleship, you start to look like Him. I don't mean physically, of course. I mean, you start to love the things that He loves and hate the things that He hates and get angry over the things that made Him angry. And you start to take care of the people that He took care of. And you start going through the motions of discipleship that He calls you into. And sure enough, one way or the other, you start to look like Him. Last week was Father's Day. I got a card from my son Daniel, and boy, it's a keeper. One of the best cards I have ever received. He simply wrote in it, I keep finding myself doing the things that you would do, and I realize how much you made me the man that I am. Oh my gosh. Thank you, thank you. But you know what I really want is I want to be able to say that to God. I keep finding myself doing the things that Jesus did and how much I realize he made me the man that I am. That's mirroring, and that's an important part of discipleship. Then there's obeying. Jesus said, I know my sheep. Talk about knowing Jesus. I know my sheep, and they know me, and follow me. Following Jesus, you know, I have to admit, I'm not real crazy about this sheep metaphor because, you know, they're smelly and dirty, and sometimes they get frightened easily. And I realize, yeah, maybe that fits. But in those moments when we would be frightened, we learn through discipleship to trust Jesus. And we learn in little pieces at a time. And the more we learn, the more we learn that we can trust Jesus. And he will, it doesn't protect us from every bad thing happening, but he sees us through it. And it becomes a growing moment, so we learn to trust him more the next time. And that's obedience. We have to learn to obey and do the things that he says. There was a father who went on a business trip, and at this conference he won some little toy, so he came back home, but he had three children and he had to figure out who to give this toy to. So he gathered his kids together and he showed them the toy and he said, now, who gets the toy? And they all, me, I want the toy. He said, well, who is obedient? And their hands came down. They weren't sure where he was going with this. And he said, who never talks back to mommy? And again, they didn't say anything. And he said, well, who does everything mommy tells you to do? And finally, one child said, okay, I get it, Dad. You get the toy. Obedience is sometimes easier said than done because we read the scriptures and we see the commandments and the advice that Jesus gives us and we say, what a great concept. But then we ask, am I going to do that? Am I ready to change my habits and do the things Jesus calls me to do? That's obedience. So when we look through this and we see that there are various ways for us to grow in our discipleship, it behooves us to figure out ways that we can see our progress so that we will know that we are growing in our faith. There are many different ways to do that. And reading a book by Phil Maynard, he suggests 6 different areas of discipleship that we might want to take a look at and judge for ourselves. I'm not going to judge you. Nobody else will. But just judge for yourself. Where am I on this path of discipleship? I'd like to share those 6 things with you very briefly. The first one is a life of worship. Well, you're all here. Congratulations. We're all here to worship. But of course, growing in our discipleship means doing more. It means coming more often. It means engaging more in worship instead of just being a spectator. And then it means letting the worship spill over into our everyday life. So that not only are we worshiping on Sunday in church, but we're worshiping God every time we wake up and we see that God has given us the gift of a brand new day. And we praise God for this day. Even when it's raining, we know it's a great day because it's a day God has given us and God is good. We start to worship God when we're driving down the road and we turn on the radio and hear the songs of our faith and just get lost, not lost on the road, but lost in our faith as we sing praises to God in the middle of the day. And when we engage with our children and they test our patience and we realize that God is growing us just in dealing with our children and what a blessing they are, it becomes an act of worship to parent our children. And so forth and so on. The more we grow in our faith, the more worship becomes a part of every day and every hour of the day until we can echo the scriptures that we pray without ceasing. Now, another way to look at our discipleship is hospitality. Obviously, we've been told many times that we need to be a hospitable church. We need to welcome people when they come into the church. But just like worship, we need to grow in our hospitality so that it spills out into our everyday life and we begin to see that the stranger who looks so different from us is a child that is loved by God. And there's a natural tendency for us to fear the unknown and to draw bad conclusions about people who look so different from us. But the life of hospitality is a life of discipleship in Jesus, where we see that person as someone who needs the grace of God just as much as we do. When you're reading the Gospels, you see that Jesus was always on his way to somewhere. He's on his way to Jerusalem, or he's on his way to Capernaum, or he's on his way going through Samaria. And everywhere he goes, he meets strangers, a leper, or 10 lepers, or a blind man, or a woman at the well, or a woman caught in adultery. And each and every time, he does not know those people, and yet he knows what they need. And he stops to be an agent of hospitality for them. And if he can do that, then he invites us to do the same thing. And growing in our discipleship means growing in our hospitality to others in every aspect of our lives. The next thing about our lives is a life of being open to Jesus with our hearts and with our minds. It's a matter of engaging in the disciplines of our faith, you know, the sacraments and the Bible studies and the prayers and the small groups, and in every way, whenever we're engaging in these things, we open our hearts so that God can fill it with his love instead of our issues. And we open our minds so that we don't just get stuck in our own preconceived ideas, but he gives us the truth so that the truth can set us free. And that growing in discipleship is growing in reading the scriptures with the expectation that it will breathe afresh in us every single time we read it. A life open to Jesus is a life of discipleship in which we are ready to change. You know, a lot of people think the Great Commission is one of the greatest verses in the Bible, and it's hard for me to disagree, because one of the last things Jesus said was, go forth into the world and make disciples. But it's kind of hard to make disciples if you're not a disciple. It's kind of hard to get people to follow Jesus if they don't see you following Jesus. And it's kind of hard to get them to change if they don't see that you're changed. Because a life of discipleship is a life not of information, but of transformation. And a life open to Jesus is a life that becomes transformed with each encounter with Jesus. Then there is the life of obeying Jesus, and we've already talked about that a little bit. But obeying Jesus is not always easy. It seems to me that Jesus would encounter people in various aspects of their own discipleship, and wherever they were, he challenged them to go the next step. To the woman caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. To the man who had done all of these commandments all of his life, he said, you lack one thing. Go and sell all your possessions and give them to the poor, and then come and what? Follow me. So a life of obeying Jesus can be a life that takes us out of our comfort zone and challenges us in many ways. Then there is a life of service. One of Jesus' last words to his disciples was, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And everywhere he went, figuratively speaking, with a towel around his waist, ready to serve humanity and give them what they needed, the spiritual food that would leave to everlasting life. And he said, I came, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I come that you may have abundant life, a rich and fulfilling life. A life of service is a life focused on offering other people the gifts of grace that comes, that you have received, and you serve others in the same spirit. And finally, you can ask yourself about a life of generosity. We talk about that a lot in this church, about how generosity is an important part of our spiritual growth, because a lot of people can really grow in their faith in many ways, but never let it affect their pocketbook. It's the last bastion of independence that people are afraid to give over to God. But as we grow in our discipleship, we learn to organize our finances around what God wants us to do instead of what we want to do. And it's not just money, and it's not just the church. It's living life with an open hand, because we know that life is full of blessings, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the evil and the good. And as we live our lives with an open hand, we share what we have with others, and more blessings come our way. The more we begin to learn that, the more we begin to mirror the kind of life that Jesus had. Time, money, service, a life of generosity is a life of giving. So all of these things come together to move us from faith as information to faith as transformation. And it's easy for us to try to make disciples by getting other people to change. It's a lot harder for us to open ourselves to being changed and being transformed by God. The promise that he holds out for us is the blessings of abundant life that come with it. And this is why I'm so excited about this series of the Discipleship Roadmap, because I see that each and every one of us, however far we have come on our path, we have further yet to go. And we can walk together hand in hand, growing in our discipleship and receiving the abundant life that Jesus has promised us. And yet, here we are, and it's decision time. It is not enough for us to leave the sanctuary and say, "Wow, that was a great worship service. Now I can go on about my life as usual." The question is before you, and it's a commanding question. Are you ready to do that, not just believe it? Are you ready to follow him and not just admire his concepts? Are you ready to trust in him and less on yourself? If we can make that decision together as a church, there is no end to the blossoming that God has in store for the Shalimar Church. The world is ripe for harvest, and he calls each of us to take up our cross and follow him. Amen and amen.